future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and Brian McDonald.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who win it now?
Behind the glass, we'll be here until 11 o'clock.
Did you get that call, Cam?
We'll see if Cam can make it through the segment without cursing, because we're going to talk some trash about the Chargers.
How dare it.
Buckle up, buddy boy. Buckle up. But first, let's get into some NFL over-unders, some team win totals that I like, see what you guys think of these, and then we'll have some fun with audio from Todd Monken and Jim Harbaugh before the segment's over, because it's been a fun week. So NFL over-unders, a few that I like. See if you guys are in on these or out on these. Now, obviously, the numbers could change for Sportsbook, but I pulled this as off a Yahoo article from a couple days ago. First one I like, top of my board, Texans line is 9.5. I think that's too low. I'm going over. Like, the Texans literally have never won less than 10, with DeMeco Ryans obviously won 12 last year. Like, for most teams, you go, well, short of a quarterback injury, like, they're going to hit this number.
Yeah.
I think with the Texans, you could say even with the quarterback injury, because Davis Mills went 3-0 last year.
So. They got that last year.
You want to win, put Davis in.
Yeah, so I Colton's really out on that take, Cam. But I think they're even a C.J. Stroud injury proof to this. Like, I don't see any way, unless they just have some sort of crazy electrical substation 49ers season, that they win less than 9 games.
I was going to say, it really takes, like, multiple defensive injuries.
Like Will Stingley.
And, like, Al Shaier. Or Tenry Toa if he goes down.
And throwing a Nico.
Are we comparing this defense to the Ravens championship?
I mean,
because that's what it sounds like.
That's the blueprint. Or the Seahawks last season.
But, I think more of the Seahawks last year.
But
the Ravens were another level. They were, like, 5 points better than the Texans. Well,
and it's like Sam Darnold was much better than...
He led the league in turnovers last year.
He still threw a good amount of yards and touchdowns.
He was definitely better than
Trent Dilfer.
Fair.
Especially, and the NFC title game. Like,
he was great in that game. I was just talking regular season.
I agree with you on how he played for the rest, for the whole season.
I think
season.
There's been some, like...
With him being 13th in the quarterback tiers?
I just think there's been some, like... kind of correction, like people in their mind just remember the last couple games. Oh, they won a Super Bowl, in their mind corrected the regular season to something it wasn't.
Yeah, even the Super Bowl, he wasn't that good.
Texans over 9.5. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I kind of think like 8 is like worst case scenario. You know, like that is like the worst possible season they have is like 8-9,
and it takes crazy amount of injuries.
And so it's like maybe there's a 9-8 in there. But yeah, like you said, I think 10 or 11 is way more likely than that. So yeah, I like it.
Cam?
Yeah. Because I was reading something where it was like, I think, did you? No, I saw it on Twitter where it, and the explanation was hilarious. I get it, where it was like, I could see this team as a 12-win team, but if C.J. Stroud doesn't take a step up in the run game...
I think that was the Athletic article that had him at 9-8.
9-8.
But that guy noted, like, he's not like an actual sports guy. He's a lawyer that they apparently contracted out to write for them.
Yeah, what? So that's why I was kind of like...
I know. It's like apparently the Athletic decided to handle this like the Bleacher Report back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah, giving jabronis.
Me. To write about the Texans and their Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I think 9 wins is like the low.
So would you go over?
Oh, yeah, I would go over.
All right.
Yeah.
Next one on my board, Jags numbers 8.5. I'm going over. Like, they won 13 games last year. Tell me where they got worse.
Yeah,
I mean, I know they lose Travis Achan, but like I'm fine with the combination of Bashaud Tootin and Chris Rodriguez. The wide receivers are great. The defense is great. I think Trevor Lawrence, because of Liam Cohen, is going to have some consistency this year. I don't see any way that they don't have at least 9 wins.
Yeah, they're one of the teams I had circled as well. Same reason as you. And I even looked at their schedule. Schedule's a little on the tough side, but it's not like anything crazy. You know, they still do get enough of the dregs that you're like, There is a floor here.
Dregs, yeah. For sure, Cam.
I'll go over 8, but I'm...
Well, it's 8.5.
8.5. I'll go over 8.5, but there's something about that team that... I don't know.
You still got visions of old Trevor Lawrence in your head?
Yes. I still don't...
It was still like
You mean the guy that came back against the Chargers in the playoffs?
It still was half a season.
How dareth you? It was, yeah, exactly.
It still was like half a season. Like, that's of fair. good football. But
it was a really good half a season.
Yeah, him and Daniel Jones had the same amount of good games.
So, yeah, I see them more as like a 10-win team.
Yeah, then you definitely should fire in the over. So one more for me, then I'm interested to see if you guys have a couple you like. But one under for me, I'm out on the Commanders. I know people are... excited because they signed Stephon Diggs, because that was a team devoid of much skill position talent outside a old Terry McLaurin, which, well, Stephon Diggs also old. But I don't think that doesn't... I know he had 1,000 yards last year, but what does 1,000 yards mean in a 17-game season? It means like 60 yards a game. I know they have Diggs, but I don't like the defense. I think Dan Quinn... I don't like the trajectory of that offense with the defensive head coach and Dan Quinn. The skill talent is either not there or old. I'm out on the Commanders under 7.5.
Ooh. Oh.
I think at best they're the third best team in the division. I think the Eagles are better. The Cowboys are better. So I'm booking losses for those games as well. I think the Giants could be potentially just as good as them. I just don't see it with the Commanders.
Yeah. You also got the injury risk with the quarterback. And
yeah,
we saw last year where it's like, you know. If he goes down, there's immediately one of the worst teams in the league. And before he goes down, they're also not that great.
They're kind of average with them. And then, yeah, if he's hurt and he runs, it gives you ample opportunity to get hurt. Then, they become a
and they've done leader. They've done nothing the last year to like excite you and be like, oh, they brought this guy in. Oh, they brought this guy
it's
in.
Like the one move that Stephon you can Diggs. Point to is Stephon Diggs. Yeah,
and who's the linebacker they drafted? I know it is.
Oh, Sonny Styles.
It does get Sonny to Styles, off-ball linebacker. They drafted pretty fast.
Yeah, that's not gonna move the needle for me. So, Sean, it sounds like you're also an under.
Yeah, no, I'm out on these.
All right, so what's an over-under that you like?
I'll go. Actually, I have two that were in the divisions that we talked about. Or actually, I have two in each of the divisions.
Okay.
I have one the AFC South, one the NFC East. I'll go Titans over 6.5.
Okay.
That seems pretty good. Not pretty good.
Darnell Tate.
Not pretty good. I think they can be like, they can win 7 games. It's not crazy that they could even get to like 8 or 9 if, you know, that would kind of necessitate the Colts going way under. And so maybe I should throw them on here too, because I kind of think like the Colts.
The Colts schedule's tough. Have you looked at that?
Yes.
That first, I think it's the first 10 weeks. It is.
Yes. And so that's why like, you know, I might, you know, those kind of go hand
in
hand. They
might correlate, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the Titans, they kind of had, they had a different offseason than the Commanders, where like they did do some stuff that excite me with Robert Saleh,
Brian Daboll.
Yeah, like I'm not calling him D'Amico Ryans, but he, like D'Amico Ryans, has never coached a bad defense. Like has never coached a average defense. It's always
and
been
you got a dude there awesome. With Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, and then you throw in getting Tate. They really need a receiver, so they get Tate. They have a pretty good offensive line.
Signed Wandale Robinson. Yeah, is pretty good.
I like Daboll as a play caller. Like I
could see it.
Yeah, Daboll took Daniel Jones to the playoffs.
won a playoff game
and fixed Josh Allen. Like he has a pretty good resume.
He's got a resume for sure. Can he be offensive coordinator for the Texans? Can we make
that swap? That's who I wanted them to like. Yeah, someone like that who won't immediately get a head coaching job.
Yeah, because he kind of falls into the Steve Spagnuolo. Like,
yeah, you need someone who's failed.
He's not really a head coach, but he's kind of good enough to be a head coach.
That's who they should go after, not first time play callers. But that's another discussion.
All right, so what's your bet from the NFC East?
Giants under 7.5. I'm not buying the Giants.
Is that because of the Harbaugh hype up? I use hype in quotation marks, hype up speech.
Yeah, I mean, it's more just Harbaugh, like, body of work as of late. Like, I haven't been like, wow, Harbaugh's really getting the most out of these Baltimore Ravens teams. But he goes to the Giants and he gets packaged as, like, one of the best guys. It's like, he got fired, like, rightfully so. Like, no one was against him, Baltimore firing him, you know. What, 3 weeks before he got hired by the Giants, and all of a sudden he's going to be a huge difference maker for him. So that, like, Jackson Dart, it's, like, more flashes than, like, actually being, like, a good rookie. Like, I the Sando quarterback tiers, which we've mentioned before, like him and Cam Ward were in the same neighborhood. I'm like, Cam Ward, A, actually played the whole season. B, is way better. And Scataboo just is asking to get hurt. Jackson Dart is asking to get hurt.
Yeah.
They don't have any receivers. And the defense I don't really like.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess it where you believe Malik Nabers' health to be. But, I mean, outside of Malik Nabers, they certainly don't.
They signed Odell Beckham Jr. And he's Juju running
Smith,
with... He's running,
Smith-Schuster.
He's running with the ones. Yeah. I think that counts as I don't like their
that's fair.
The receivers.
That's certainly fair. So, speaking of a Harbaugh, Colton, let's go to that clip from John Harbaugh. That's clip number three. He was on the Colin Cowherd show the other day and asked by Colin about his defense, and I'm still not sure what Jim Harbaugh says in this clip.
You ever said, hey, Chris, don't screw around too much. We're really good on that side. I don't want too many changes. Like, how many changes can you make to a great defense?
Yeah, always. I mean, I think these defenses, these systems, they're always evolving. Because they have to, and you know, evolvement. Is that a word? Is it a word, Colin?
In evolvement. Am I like evolve, yeah. Evolving?
Evolving. Yeah. Same with Mike. There was Mike McDonald, the Jesse. You know, and it'll be the same. Same with Chris. Yeah, we're in that. I think a lot of the good ways that we saw, you know, as an organization that, you know, would be with whether Jesse being here, now he's not, but like.
Cam, I go to you first. Noted Chargers fan. You got the Bolt tattoo. Did Grandpa have a stroke live on the air?
I don't know what that.
I've seen the video. I've seen that exact same look in my grandfather's eyes when he was like 85.
I think he got distracted by something on the TV. I don't know. I think we're so used to...
There's a 0% chance that he had a stroke live on the air with Colin Cowherd.
I think the thing that makes it worse is we're so used to his like emphatic interviews that he always usually has. And then there's...
Evolving? Is that a word?
Is that a word?
Help me out, Colin. Yeah. Colin didn't really help.
No.
Evolution is the word he's looking for.
I don't know what that was. I still have no words. But that's my guy.
That's your dude.
Hey, stroke away. What? Oh, well, God.
Hold on.
Oh.
Cam. Sit down for a second. Colton, don't go to break. We're just going to let Cam have to deal with that.
You said
even without the innuendo, what you're saying.
Jesus, Cam. Why? He has one of these moments, I think, every show where he just. Oh, my God. Full pause, Cam.
Stroke?
Oh, we're going to have to pull that. We're going to have to pull that audio.
Pull what? Oh, pull that audio.
Pull that audio. Careful. Careful. It is Saturday, but I think some FCC rules still apply here. Careful. Careful. Nice transition. Defend your quarterback.
It's like Michael Scott. I knew as soon as that was coming out. Damn it.
Maybe you should take the rest of the segment off.
Yeah, I'm gonna go put my hand in the fridge.
Skip the quarterback, given the nature of what.
Yeah, let's probably because there was a lot. Well,
I don't want to bring up Madison Beer that close to what Cam's been talking about.
One more piece of audio. Oh. Not that we needed more reason to be out on the Browns. Some people might take this as a great fire up speech.
I had their under as one of the ones.
I had that
I didn't get to.
I think I was on the fence before, but this audio from Todd Monken and his fire-up speech to the Browns has me fully under the Browns, which I believe is 5.5 wins. Go ahead and play in Colton.
Someone mentioned something to me, something about being crazy. You bet your... we ought to be crazy. Crazy about fucking winning. That's what we ought to be crazy about, right? About how we play. How every single day we bring. We ought to be... I'd rather be f***ing crazy and out of my mind fighting to win and leave it out here and somehow medical people got to come out and resuscitate. They're going to fight my f*** off to win and just everything's okay. It's okay to be casual. It's okay to get out and then be a f***ing loser. And ain't that me? And that's not going to be us.
Well, it is.
Yeah, like...
It is.
I was already kind of out on the Browns because of, well, they're the Browns and their roster. But also because, like, the track record of, like, the oldest coach in the league doesn't usually work out. And then you throw in that, I don't even know what to call that fire-up speech from Todd Monken. Like, that feels like that. I know people could point to the Dan Campbell, oh, he said goofy things too, bite kneecaps off, and it worked, right? But that came off like the type of speech with Todd Monken that 20-year-olds are just going to roll their eyes on and, like, look past. I don't think that really fires people up.
Yeah, yeah, it's not. Have we seen a good pump-up speech this offseason?
Certainly not from the Giants.
Like, I feel like every week we get like a...
D'Amico's was okay. Although he started talking about space. Like, yeah, I don't know. It was okay.
I don't remember it. It didn't fail.
I wouldn't say it was great, yeah, but it didn't fail.
Which is probably like the best.
Yeah, the best you could probably do.
Yeah, like I actually don't want like some amazing training camp rally the troops speech. Like, whatever. Save for the regular season. I don't need the like, we're going to go out there week two of the training camp.
Yeah, for sure.
We play for the New York Giants.
Man, I'm looking at the New York Giants.
New York Giants.
He just kept saying it over and over again. It was so bizarre. All right, on the other side of the break, I'll see if my voice can make it through it. But, Sean, you got your wish. It's time for the hype train. That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5.
Back inside the bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and Brian McDonald.
Welcome back to the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5. Brian, Cam, and Sean. And it is time for the hype train. Because, Sean, we don't get hyped.
We stay hyped.
Damn right, brother. Start off with Kyler Murray. I can't make it. All right, I gave you the intro.
That was like a 6 out of 10.
Oh, you're trying to goad me into doing more, aren't you?
No. I have a higher standard.
Yeah. Kyler Murray taking more first-team snaps than J.J. McCarthy. Quote, Murray has taken around 2/3 of the first-team snaps at training camp, according to ESPN's Kevin Seifert. Is Kyler Murray the guy, Sean?
For the Vikings... Hell yeah, he's the guy. I don't know if I'm on the Kyler Murray hype train full stop, but I'm definitely on the Kyler Murray hype train in direct comparison to J.J. McCarthy.
Thank you.
So I think, you know, he's in the 20s. Maybe on, you know, a good year, he's low teens as far as where he play, like spots, finds himself in the quarterback hierarchy in the NFL, but... way better than who they had last year. So I am buying the hype, and I'm buying the Vikings because of it.
So, Cam, obviously the concern last year with the Vikings was, like, they didn't have anyone that could get Justin Jefferson the ball. Right now, Justin Jefferson on underdog, wide receiver 6. If Kyler's the quarterback, are you feeling good about that number? Are you willing to take him higher? Number 5 is CeeDee Lamb, by the way. Number 4, Amon-Ra St. Brown, before you get to it. I think the undoubted 1-2-3 is Chase Puka and JSN. But how high would you go with Justin Jefferson?
I'm good at the highest
wide
I would go.
Wide receiver what? What wide receiver spot would you be willing to take?
4.
4? That's the highest you would go? Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the absolute probably upside with not because of him, but because of the quarterback. Because
it's still Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And it's like Justin Jefferson doesn't need like... It's not like he's played his entire career with some awesome quarterback.
Exactly.
And it's like, no, he's like the good years were with Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold. You know, like it is just don't be horrifically bad. And even, you know, last year's down season, he still had 1,000 yards.
It's like Andre.
Andre
played with a bunch of scrubs and was still a Pro Bowler.
Even like DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald. I kind of put him in that bucket of like he's pretty quarterback proof for the most part, minus. 9, and even then, 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he was 9 was kind of like what Brock Osweiler was to DeAndre Hopkins' career.
Yeah.
Like, DeAndre Hopkins, no matter what bum you put with him, including Kyler, like, he was able to put up huge numbers, except for that one year with Brock where he was like...
Yeah.
He was under 1,000. I don't remember his exact total, but he was under 1,000 with Osweiler.
And I think we're looking there. Even then, like, it was just the touchdowns for Jeff.
Yeah, like his yardage and reception totals weren't as bad as we remember, but the problem was, like you said, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, if that's just a normal year, then he ends up being Okay. Malik Nabers, buying the hype. Doesn't even feel like hype. That's kind of where we are with Malik Nabers, because the news is just that Malik Nabers rejoins team drills. Nabers participated in team drills at Thursday's practice. Patricia Traina of SI.com reported, like, Malik Nabers, because of what you mentioned with the Giants wide receiver room, Sean, last segment, has a chance, like 30% target share is like usually like, oh, okay, that's a wide receiver one. This dude could go out there and get like a JSN 40, potentially, just because there is literally nobody. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster, you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. These are the bums making up the rest of that receiver room. Like, Malik Nabers, if healthy, could end up breaking fantasy football.
Yeah, I would go break fantasy football.
If he gets the 40% like JSN, I don't know. Look, I'm saying it's a low percentage.
I don't think he's as good as JSN. Like,
well, no. I'm not saying he is. Yeah, he's damn good though. Like, because like that rookie year was. Let me pull up his number here. Like, unless I missed. Yeah, he had 109 catches his rookie year, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's just the knee injury that he had. Like, he's needed to get it redone like 2 different times.
That is scary. The fact that he's had setbacks.
You saw him at the softball game.
Like, yeah, that was
that guy. You think that guy's gonna break football? He's gonna break NFL football.
Yeah. I said if healthy.
What's he gonna do when? I don't know.
Did you hit me with a Hulk Hogan?
I was going.
What's
to.
You gonna do?
And I couldn't think of the cornerback. Quinion Mitchell is gonna lock him down. When Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean are coming for you.
I think Malik Nabers needs to take his vitamins and say his prayers. Otherwise, he should be fine.
And that could be something I see hold him back, too, is that
he doesn't say his prayers and take his vitamins?
I actually didn't realize that was the last thing you said. No, that he is such a one man, like the only guy on the Giants offense, that it's like, well, you just double him with, you know, like your game plan against the Giants is just take Malik Nabers out of the game by any means necessary and let Darius Slayton try to beat you.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you
have with
Malik Nabers, Cam? As the player, I love Malik Nabers. As the person witnessing his injury and being on the New York Giants, yeah, I don't know. Are we referring to like the round of fantasy that we would draft him at?
Yeah, like, because right now he's going like wide receiver 11, wide receiver 12. Are you comfortable taking him there? Or are you concerned about the injury?
I'm a little concerned. Like,
depending on your team build, that's a spot where he might be your wide receiver 1.
Yeah, no,
I do not want to live that line.
That's fair. I think that's really the question you have to ask.
I'm closer.
Because I think we'd all take him at a value if he slips a little bit and he's wide receiver 2, because the upside is tremendous, but.
I'm closer to like 20, like 18, 19, 20.
All right. Let's see. Who else is getting hype? Cyrus Allen of the Kansas City Chiefs also getting hype back in practice on Friday, according to Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star. The rookie fifth-round pick was one of Kansas City's early standouts at training camp, building chemistry with Patrick Mahomes, while Sean even taking some snaps with the first-team offense. You buying in on Cyrus Allen?
Not really.
It's just kind of an interesting question with the Chiefs, because it's, okay, Rashee Rice, you know he's the one, but he's coming off an injury, he's coming off of jail.
Yes.
And then Travis Kelce's 1,000 years old and more focused on Taylor Swift duties right now. And then who else do they have at wide receiver?
Xavier Worthy, former first-round pick.
Point taken. not much.
Is Thornton still there?
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
there's just room for a rookie breakout.
There is room for a rookie breakout, and I mean, again, we're talking about Tyquan Thornton, like being the obstacle here. I just don't know if I can like throw that dart with any confidence, because it would be like,
I mean, one of your last picks.
Yeah, I just don't know.
You're not risking much.
I just don't know if I believe in the Chiefs' like offensive like ecosystem enough that a guy who is. Probably the third option. And then Ken Walker.
Kelce will still out target.
And they also went out and signed Kenneth Walker. So it's like, like he's probably the fourth weapon that gets.
But Eric Bieniemy back.
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
He's better than
Nagy.
Nagy, who's with the Giants. Another reason to doubt the Giants, Matt Nagy's home.
I guess he is better than Nagy.
I mean, who isn't? Okay. Well,
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hackett. Not
Drew Petzing.
There's not many though. Like, there's not many people I would take Nagy over. One more piece of hype, and it's kind of an unhype. Mekhi Lemon hamstring isn't practicing Friday. Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philadelphia reports. Lemon and Devonta Smith first missed practice Tuesday, both due to hamstring injuries. Like, I'm getting to the point, because now this has kind of lingered on since, like, really, I think OTAs and minicamp with Mekhi Lemon.
Yeah.
I think out. Like, if Mekhi Lemon slips to where, okay, he's my fifth wide receiver, and I can wait till a possible second half breakout, sure. But, yeah, I don't think there's any chance of a quick start for Mekhi Lemon. Hamstring injuries just scare me in general. Plus, you throw in, it's a low passing volume offense. Plus, the Eagles still have other targets. Obviously, Devonta Smith. Dallas Goedert had a good year last year. They drafted Eli Stowers, who hasn't been getting a lot of hype in camp himself. But I think the vibes are just bad on Lemon. I'm out.
Yeah. If he's my fourth receiver, okay. But other than that, I'm not.
Which he's going to go low. So, I mean, you're not going to have him as a – well, let me see. Let me pull up the old ADP here on Underdog.
It's just
wide receiver 35, actually. Because that's a wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. Even as, like, the, like, dart throw upside kind of thing, like, I don't really see the upside there, like, with what you said.
I like taking dart throws with rookie wide receivers. The second half, they usually, at least recently, have really started to make a big impact for your team. It's kind of a low-cost, high-impact type of move there. But the low passing volume, the hamstring concerns, like, he's not the one. I'm just kind of out on
that. Yeah, if he didn't have the soft tissue thing, I think I would like him. But just it being a hamstring consistently now for months, like, is that going to stop when he plays NFL football?
Yeah, right, right. All right, that'll do it for the hype train. Luckily, my voice made it through.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you
seem a little disappointed, Sean. You think I throttled it down?
I feel like you mailed this one in a little.
Oh my god!
I feel like you went out there. You went out there to not get hurt.
I did this for you, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
I was perfectly willing to talk college football this segment. I was like, you know what, Sean would rather do the hype train. So I'll do the hype train.
I would always rather do the hype train. But yeah, no, I felt like you're out there just trying not to get hurt. I felt like you're tiptoeing around.
I don't like this.
You got to go 100%.
I looked out for the best interest of my teammate. I did what would bring them joy in this life, and I'm getting called out for my effort in doing so.
Yeah, just don't think.
Sean Mapes, bad teammate. Other side of the break, when the bullpen returns, it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere.
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome into the best part of the week in Houston. Welcome into Mount Rushmore Plus One, the game-changing, award-winning segment that's forever changed the sports radio landscape in Houston, in Texas, in America, nay, worldwide. And we'll get Sean, Cam, myself, George, Andrew Carlson, RJ Saunders,
Josh Evans,
AJ Russ, and countless others, Sean.
Yeah.
Countless others.
Colton.
Not Colton. Well, he doesn't have one. Like, I feel like he has to. Oh, you do have one. Oh, he does. Okay, it'll get Colton to the Texas Radio Hall of Fame, and far less than Bum Sean Lance. Sorry, he's down the hall. It took those 26 years to get those guys into the Hall of Fame. Got to say a little bit quieter when Lance is down the hall.
What were you on?
I don't want to get fired.
You're three?
Yeah.
Just wrapped up your three?
I think we are your three into the show.
Yeah.
Because that started in, like, what, February 23?
Yeah.
That sounds right. Yeah. All right. Mount Rushmore Plus One. Should we make Colton go first since he's new to the show?
Sure.
Yeah. Colton, you want to lead off here? What's your Mount Rushmore Plus One, sir?
I did names of things, so, like, just
perfect.
Like things that are names.
She already gets the bit.
I was kind of like, should he sit one out just to, like, watch? And no, you're on a good start.
Okay,
all right.
I'm intrigued.
So at 5, we have Orange. It's an orange, so it's a good name for something.
It's a great name for it.
Did you do this list for him?
No.
This sounds exactly like a Sean Mapes list.
Orange.
At 4.
It fits.
At 4, we have Ball. A ball's just
yeah.
a ball.
Yeah.
All types of balls.
This is great.
It is curious how things are given names.
Yeah. Because it all starts as random. We're just making crap up.
Yeah. I mean, like, who did
it's
come
like
up
a
with
different
orange?
Language and then it gets bastardized. Yeah.
At 3, we have Squeegee. I feel like Squeegee's a squeegee.
Facts.
That one I do understand because you do squeeze it. Yeah.
That might even be like a brand thing.
Yeah.
And then at 4, we're going to have upstairs / downstairs because it literally is upstairs, downstairs.
You go upstairs.
I love this list.
4 for 4.
And then 5, we have mud because mud is mud.
Mud.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good movie.
That's a good movie.
That might be the best debut of Mount Rushmore Plus One history. That was perfect. Right. You got the bit.
You get
all
it.
Right. You got it. All right. No
thank
notes.
You, thank you.
Okay, we move on.
I got ripped for doing one. But
well, what was your list? Words that just sound right?
Yeah, words that
so
just...
That's kind of a cult bit.
Yeah, but one of them is pool.
Yeah. Was one of them Wi-Fi?
Bluetooth.
Bluetooth, that's right. Bluetooth. It just sounds right. Sounds right.
Imagine calling it something else.
I can't. No, it's just Bluetooth. All right, so this one goes out to Sean.
Thank you.
I made a mention a couple weeks ago on the show that an NFL quarterback wasn't actually an NFL quarterback.
Oh, yes.
Which triggered Sean.
Yes, because
I have strong thoughts on guys who play in the NFL that aren't really NFL quarterbacks.
But they are
in No.
They play for an NFL.
I look at that guy playing like, that's not an NFL quarterback. Okay. We all know. You see a guy drop back, throw a pass like, that guy ain't.
He's
not an NFL quarterback.
But he's doing it in an NFL game.
He's not an NFL quarterback. So, my Mount Rushmore plus one, I kept it local. This could be a whole franchise, Sean. I might go on this for weeks just to continually triggering you. But my Mount Rushmore plus one is of Texans quarterbacks who aren't NFL quarterbacks. Guys who have played for the Texans, but you watch a player like, that ain't an NFL
quarterback. Unfortunately, there's a lot to pick from.
I was going to say, that's a
first
long
on the list.
List.
R.I.P. Ryan Mallett. Not an NFL quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, he did throw a touchdown pass to J.J. Watt. That was cool. But other than that, not an NFL quarterback.
Okay.
He got beat out by Brian Hoyer, like Tom Savage at points. That ain't an NFL quarterback.
Tom Savage.
What did I say?
No, I said Tom Savage, not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, Tom Savage, not an NFL quarterback. He didn't make the list. There's lots to choose from in the Texans. There's lots to choose from, okay?
Might be able to do two Texans.
Also, not an NFL quarterback. Sorry there, Colton. I believe this guy played for your school. Kyle Allen, not an NFL quarterback.
He played for Houston.
He didn't play for the Aggies.
Two Allens on the Bills.
Yeah. Kyle Allen, not an
yeah,
NFL
he's still in the NFL. He's been in the NFL for like a decade.
Yeah.
You're saying that guy's an NFL quarterback?
Clearly.
He's been in
the NFL for 10 years.
He's not an NFL quarterback, okay?
Molded by Kevin Sumlin into an NFL quarterback.
What is this, Bane? molded by it? Next on my list of Texans, guys who play quarterback for the Texans who aren't actually NFL quarterbacks, Dave Rico. That guy's not an NFL quarterback.
Raging Cajun.
Yeah.
Well,
He
wasn't first year Texan.
Okay.
He was drafted, I think, year 3 of the franchise. He's a third round pick.
Oh, wow. I
actually started a game against the Jaguars, which they got shut out. But yeah, he's not an NFL quarterback. You fully agree on?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, not an NFL quarterback, but he played for quarterback for the Texans. Jeff Driskel.
He's
not an NFL quarterback.
The Driskel cat?
The Driskel cat? No.
Boy, stop it.
Not an NFL quarterback.
Didn't he have like giant thighs or something?
Maybe. Who knows?
Jack thighs.
Maybe it was a butt. I forgot.
Oh, what?
I think he had a big butt.
You said he had a jack butt?
I think he had a big butt.
And number one on my list of Texas quarterbacks.
Emptying the notebook of what I have on Jeff Driskel. All right?
It's not a lot. Well, he played at Florida.
Yeah. He was pretty good at Florida.
His name's Jeff.
He's a dude.
Yeah. And I think he had a big butt.
I think he's white.
He is.
Texas notes, white.
Jeff
okay.
Driskel.
Number one on my list of, I guess not, these weren't really in particular order, but last guy on my Mount Rushmore plus one of Texas quarterbacks who aren't NFL quarterbacks, AJ McCarron. Not a quarterback. Not an NFL quarterback.
Okay. You know what? That one I definitely agree with you with because I completely forgot about him.
Yeah. I can't remember if he started a game for the NFL for the Texans, but he definitely played in games for the Texans.
AJ McCarron? Yeah.
Yeah. Who are you looking at?
Oh. Jeff Driscoll's butt.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
He's got a little bit of a badonk.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for
right.
that.
I didn't know I needed that in my life. All right, Cam, you're Mount Rushmore plus one.
I told
one.
You.
My Mount Rushmore plus one.
You know what, Sean? You called it.
I knew it. Because he was on like the 2021 or two Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel what to talk to you on the Paul Gallant show, right?
Shout out to Paul Gallant.
Worst bar customers.
Oh, okay.
Dealt with a few of them last night.
I wonder if any of us will fall into one of these categories.
I don't believe so.
It's right.
Oh, God. Well,
if I identify with one of these people, I will tell you.
Awkward. Okay. The over-friendly drunk guy.
Okay, not me.
The one who has to get out of their seat and walk around and talk to everybody they are everybody's friend.
Over-mingling. Well,
that's got to be better, though, than angry drunk. What's the worst drunk to deal with at the bar?
Oh, definitely like angry drunk, right? Definitely like an aggressive, angry drunk.
I'd rather happy drunk or pass out drunk.
Yeah, but I feel like angry drunk is like drunk, a typical go-to answer. Yeah. So yeah, but like the friendly one, because it's like you're just being invasive of people's personal space.
If you're working there, I'm sure the chatting you up, wasting your time.
Exactly.
Probably getting a little too friendly with the females in the bar and things you got to take care of.
That could happen.
Yeah. Don't chase off my customers, please. The order food at 11:58 when the kitchen closes at 12.
Yes.
Because that happens.
Yeah. No. Well, okay. Let's say the kitchen closes at midnight. What is the last time you should walk in and feel comfortable ordering food? Because I think there's a very definitive answer.
So, for me...
Or just however many... forget midnight. Just however many minutes before kitchen closes.
For me, whether it's a restaurant or a bar, if it's within 20 minutes of them closing, I won't do it.
I was going to say 30. Yeah, if I know they close at 10, I'm not walking in past 9:30.
Now, if it's something like a salad where it's easy to toss together... That's one thing. But like the other day, somebody came in at like 11:58 and they wanted like
a
burger and sweet potato fries.
What they want done to their salad, Kim?
I believe tossed.
What's Kim next?
Extra ranch.
I would have gone 15 minutes.
All right. Oh, well, hey.
15 minutes?
Before the kitchen closes.
I think it has to be amount of time to where they could actually get the order out before they close. And 15 minutes feels like you're pushing.
It also depends on what the order is.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
The person that is confident in what they want, but then takes 20 minutes to order. So you're like, you get those people that come in, they sit down, you're like, hey, like, what can I get you? Like, this is our menu.
I've seen the people that take forever to order, but they're also confident. That part threw me off.
Well, like the person that comes in, it's like, what can I get you? Or like asking if they need help with anything. They're like, no, like I know what I want. Mm. But then it takes them 20 minutes to finally decide what they want.
Yeah, that'd be annoying.
Yeah. The regular who thinks that they work at the bar. So like the person that's like, oh, I come here all the time so I can walk around the bar and grab like a napkin or utensils. It's like, no, dude.
Or like a customer asks a question, they try to answer it for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen those people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Annoying.
And then this is specific to last night where it's 2 o'clock or past 2 o'clock and you ask them, hey, it's past two, go ahead and wrap up. And they're like, really? We have to leave? Well, yeah, man.
I didn't know that was a person.
Last night it was 2:08. We have an indoor.
What time do you close?
We close at 2. Last call we do at 1:50. And we, for where I work, we have an indoor outdoor. If it's past 2 and you're outdoors and you're still drinking, we'll let you finish, but we have you come inside. It's 2:08 and I go out there and it's a couple talking. They're not even drinking. And I'm like, hey guys, like I don't mean to intrude, but you know it's almost 2:10. Can we bring this inside? And they're like, we have to go inside. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know it's 2:10. We're closing everything down. And it's just like getting an attitude for the fact that I'm making you close out when it's 10 minutes past the time that you're technically not even supposed to be here.
Yeah,
and you're not even drinking.
Seeming, like, for some reason, there's a group of like consumers that just has no respect for like closing or opening times.
Yeah, where
like,
they're
I
like,
notice when I
as long as I'm here, if I never leave, we never close. Yeah, we're like, no, you leave.
Like, I worked retail briefly at GameStop, and we would close at 9. People would walk in at 8:58 and want to browse. Like, bro, like be respectful. Like, if you want to browse, that's fine. If you want to come in, you know exactly what you want at 8:58. Little annoying, but fine. But, like, be respectful that people are trying to close up.
Yeah, yeah. I always like when they lock the door, like, whatever, 9:50 or something.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I respect that so much.
All right, Mapes, go ahead, main event this.
Okay, my Mount Rushmore plus one of sports cliches that you hear from whether it's coaches or general managers or whoever. Sports cliches that no one likes, that never go over well. They're cliches that a person in authority use, but actually no one likes it. Number one. Well, we just play in a tough division, conference, or league after you lose to the worst team in that division, conference, or league. Where it just goes, hey, listen, it's every day is a struggle here in the AFC West. You know, like it's
after you lose to the Raiders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This feels like an SEC coach after they lost to
Mississippi State. Or, I mean, you hear it in like ACC basketball where they're we lost to Boston College. It's, you know?
Hey, look, man, it's a tough division top to bottom.
Yeah, yeah. Next, this one, a local team was guilty of this one. Actually, a couple of these. You'll find out. This is just very pointed. We're a couple plays away from being, and then a way better record. we're a couple plays away from
being. I remember that being said when the Texans started 0-3.
Yeah, they're a couple plays
away
from
said
2-1,
so
at least.
Much.
And some of these, it's like, I'm okay with people on the outside making this like case for the team, you know, like run differentials in the same ballpark as this. You can't say it though. You're the one that went out and lost. You can't say it. Quote, we don't listen to the outside noise. Yes, you do. Like, you wouldn't know that there is outside noise if you didn't listen to the outside noise.
This was like a Nick Caserio thing.
This is a Nick Caserio.
Yeah. Because you know who listens to the outside noise? Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, like, the we can't hear the haters. Well, you technically can hear them.
And like, players will do it. And I'm like, you are definitely on Instagram. Like, you just, like, even
sir,
if it's
weren't
not
you just tweeting
account,
at a fan the other day?
Yeah, even if it's not your account, like, you probably do get fed stuff from your team because you are on that team.
Who would be the worst guy to say that? Probably Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant would be
Kevin
the funniest
Durant,
guy.
Like Kevin
I
Durant
love how we all went to that person.
If he said it, I'd actually find it hilarious. Like, I think he would mean it as a joke, and
yeah,
I think it would be funny.
Please say that, Kevin Durant. Because I know you're listening.
We believe in our culture. Every team believes in their culture.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a team out there where the head coach is like, not a great culture here.
Yeah. Why am I here?
If one time a coach says, you know what? I haven't built a great culture.
Rafael Stone, after he fires, even after he fires Steven Silas, goes, you know, we didn't have a great culture. Like, no, even after you fire the guy, you don't say that.
No, you never do.
But every team
has a great
culture.
Believe
in their culture.
Even the teams that win two games.
And this one, ripped from the headlines, some would say. You know, we're getting injured player. Uh-oh. It's kind of like getting him back at the deadline.
Dana Brown said that about Hayden Wesneski. Yes, he did.
And he's done it before.
I know. When I heard that quote, I thought of you, Sean. I was like, I know Sean is equally as triggered right now as I am.
Yeah. Getting him back. Getting an injured player back.
No, it's just like getting a player at the deadline. No, it's not. It's not
it
like
really
that at all.
It really is.
It doesn't fix. Oh, my God. Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and wrap up here in the five-ish minutes we have left with the people we love from sports and what we... What's that, Cam?
Huh? Oh, nothing, sorry.
Cam said something that I think I was meant to hear and I did not hear it.
Oh, okay, all right. Our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. So what we'll start off with the worst people in sports. This will be cut number 7, Colton. My worst person in sports, this Purdue Athletic Department who... took an odd turn, I think, on his day one of the job at this press conference with the shot he took.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
What? What was that? Yeah. It See, like, there's two ways this could be, like, okay. One, if literally Indiana hadn't won a championship
in football
6 months ago. Yeah. Like, it'd be one thing if you talk, well, they, maybe a program was trending down, right? Like, yeah, they've won championships, but it's been a while.
Even if, like, they won, like women's golf or something. Not great to you know, someone can't fact check that. But, right. Like, football, everyone saw it.
Everyone saw it. And two, it'd be okay if you're running a program that's won a lot. You're freaking Perdue. Like, there's a nickname for Perdue because of your lack of success. So, wild first day on the job for, I believe the AD came from Houston.
Rice.
Yes. Sorry, my bad. From the city of Houston, but Rice. Makes me question the credentials at Rice a little bit. But anyway, that is my worst person in sports. Cam, who's your worst person?
My worst person is a group of fans supporting the Los Angeles Dodgers that continue to think that they built the team from the ground up instead of paying for it.
Oh yeah, the, like, hey, listen, we're just doing whatever. We just have a good farm system. That's how we did this.
Exactly. It's like, no, you dropped really. Like $2 billion.
Yeah, you're not ruining. Really any, yeah, and there's also no one on, or not no one, but there's not. Most of their big contributors are not, like homegrown talent.
Mookie Betts, no. Shohei, no. Freeman. Tucker, no. Freeman, no. Yamamoto, no.
I mean, technically,
but he went straight to the majors. Yeah, so that's not a...
That's fair. Snell, Glasnow.
Scooball.
Scooble.
Like, literally...
Teoscar Hernandez.
Their entire starting lineup, you...
I tried... Oh, the only guy I can think of is Will Smith, the catcher.
Big Willie style.
Yeah, he's homegrown.
Dalton Russian, I guess, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's the back.
Who?
Yeah. Max Muncy.
Was it? Yeah, maybe so. Like, actually, but it's not a lot.
I don't think he was.
There's not a lot.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, what's your worst person in sports this week?
Worst person in sports, the substation outside of the
undefeated
49ers practice facility. This time, Broncos defensive lineman suffered a torn Achilles. Now,
what? It's getting other teams now?
How does this affect? Like, that's hundreds of miles away from the substation. Well, they're actually having a joint practice at the Niners facility.
If you're another NFL team, how do you do a joint practice with the 49ers right now?
I don't know how much the substation actually affected this one, but not a great look.
It's not a great look. I tell you what, if I'm a Broncos reporter, I'm asking the question, like, why did you pick the 49ers? It's insane.
I'm sure Sean Payton would love it.
It is insane the amount of players on the 49ers are going down left and right.
Now a guy can't get through a joint practice without tearing his Achilles.
Amazing. All right, time to stop swimming with the anger sharks. Take a deep breath. Go ahead and doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility and talk about what we love from sports this week. One of the things I love from sports this week, the fact that we got a headline talking about a training camp fight between Max Crosby and Kirk Cousins. What?
I love it.
Please, NFL gods, football gods, whoever I can pray to right now, let me see video of this fight. I haven't seen video put out yet. Maybe it's out there and I just didn't see it, but I need to see video of this fight between Max Crosby and Kirk Cousins. Amazing work.
Yeah, that has to be like a...
I'm sure it wasn't full, like, push. Throwing fists.
Yeah,
but,
push and get broken up.
Yeah, but still, just the headline of Max Crosby fighting with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I can't even imagine Kirk Cousins.
Man. I can't picture
what
it.
What the heck, man?
That's literally like fighting a grandpa. Like, you're literally picking on a grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah, an NFL version of grandpa.
Yeah,
for sure. Sean, what'd you love from sports?
What I love from sports this week was Saints undrafted rookie Brock Rechsteiner. Getting suspended 6 games from the NFL for a performance-enhancing substance or violating the performance-enhancing...
When has a Steiner ever done performance-enhancing
drugs? I love that this is what you loved.
Yeah, I couldn't put the substation as the thing I love. So I don't know if Cam,
do you get the connection?
Excuse me?
He is... this undrafted rookie is the son of WWE Hall of Famer Scott Steiner. And he has got Big Papa Pump, and now Little Papa Pump has gotten popped with a 6-game suspension.
The cousin of Bron Breakker.
Oh.
The cousin of Bron Breakker. Yeah, I know you have no idea who that is. I know you have no idea.
Wow.
Big Papa Pump, the father of Little Papa Pump, used to refer to himself as a genetic freak.
He is a genetic
freak. So I think this is really unfair by the NFL to... He's not doing PEDs. He's just a genetic freak.
He is a genetic freak. He's just like, a genetic freak. Why the testosterone levels are.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what? He's not taking performance enhancers. I mean, did you not see Big Papa Pump in the ring? He's just, he's.
This is the son of Big Papa Pump.
I don't like it.
Who never failed the test.
No, I didn't see it. Did you see it?
He
no
never failed. He never failed.
He never failed a drug test. Factual. All right, Cam, what'd you love from sports this week?
I know this is going to seem basic, but the Hall of Fame game. It was a good intro into, because we talked about like how last week we were like, oh, football's awesome. Back, but then it goes away because a Hall of Fame game is always boring,
like,
basic,
oh,
and terrible.
Hall of Fame game's back, and then after the first drive, it's like, all right, never mind.
Yeah. But it was rather entertaining.
It was a good one. I think they deserve the flowers for it when they have a good one.
I'm aroused that football's back.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Huh?
I think you meant to say it that time. Most of the time you say these things.
I literally did it just to see if you would catch that one.
He almost started wrapping it up.
I'm aroused that the show is over. All right,
hey,
first show on
two aroused,
let's
make
for
it right.
Colton Behind the Glass, I am Brian McDonald. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, Houston.